So how long do you have to call it like next gen still? Do we get, is like once the Xbox One's out, is it the current gen, or is it like a little bit?
I feel like we called the Xbox 360 a next gen system until like 2010.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. I guess it's not until they announce the next one. Which Nintendo might do, what, in a year or two, so. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for...
Wow, we just talked about it.
No, I knew it was the 16th. I forgot the month. I wanted to say August for some reason. Then I was like, no, it's clearly September. Like, wait. But those are the two that came to my head.
I love it.
In my defense, it is weird that we're already this close to the end of the month. There's no real defense. Okay, November 16th, 2013.
Always to me the highlight of this show. It's a shame it's so early.
It's all downhill from
it
there.
It just doesn't get better.
So welcome to our show. We're just going to talk about the PlayStation 4 a lot. So we'll
throw some BlizzCon at
well,
the end.
Yeah,
we didn't talk about that.
We'll kind of just do all PlayStation 4.
This is gonna be a kind of loose show.
Yeah, so we'll just talk about, I think we'll kind of like go into our impressions, and then we'll talk about some of the news that happened with their thing. That little launch event. So, and then, then after that, we'll talk about some other things, like the BlizzCon stuff. Well, then we had a little thing on the community we can bring up, and that'll be the show. So let's get started with the PlayStation 4s. I like it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's nice. And I mean, there's certain things that we knew we would like the way the system looks, but it really is a sleek-looking system.
Yeah, I have to say, it is smaller than you think.
Right.
Part of it, it's...
It's much smaller than the PS3.
It's not as wide as it is deep.
Yeah, you know,
which
being
is
deep is
smart.
Smart, yeah. Because
who cares how deep a system is?
Right, usually you got more than enough room there, so... Yeah, and then, like, there's something about that slant, man. That slant.
It makes it easy to find the USB ports, which was always really hard on the
PS3. It was,
because
they're hiding,
underneath that thing.
And I can never see it. The only thing I don't like how it's those... What do you call those weird... They're not real buttons.
They're like capacitive buttons.
I don't like those...
I like
buttons
sometimes.
I like buttons. That's not, I don't like it on the 360 thing either.
Yeah.
Versus, like, I always want to use my big toe in a sock to push these things. And, like, you can't,
it doesn't work.
I can't do that. I gotta get down on my knees, like, oh, God.
Just push the controller. Oh, the eject, I guess.
Yeah.
I just said eject funny.
Eject. You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, but the controller is kind of thing everyone's. That's like the big.
You
want to
start there?
Yeah, because the controller is really nice. I'm not one of those people who, like, hated the DualShock 3, like, apparently a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Which,
I was going to bring that up because you've been saying that for the last few weeks, but when you kind of compare the two now, does that color your opinion at
all? I mean, it's definitely a better controller. I agree. I'm just saying. It's not like when I go back to play PlayStation 3 again, I'm going to be like, oh, I can't do it. The longer, like, handles are great. Just, like, the extra weight, like, the extra spacing between things.
Well, the cups in the analog sticks feel fantastic.
Yeah, that's nice.
Because they are ridged, but they actually still do have, like, that convexity.
Yeah.
Like, they still stick up a little bit, but then the ridge...
Oh, really? But I say it's like the... with that and with the triggers...
The triggers are
concave.
Great.
So, yeah,
really
your fingers
good.
Don't slide off of anything. It just seems like an expensive controller, you know?
What do you think of the touchpad?
I like the touchpad. I like that it's actually a button.
I feel like that's gonna be how it's used. Like,
well,
not a lot of stuff's gonna, like...
But Killzone kinda uses it neat.
Well, it's basically using it as a third D-pad.
But that's nice, though, because, like, you had that other thing.
Yeah.
Like, instead of holding down R2 and using the D-pad, now you have this thing. And then, if you don't know Killzone, like, you have, like, a little robot that follows you around. He has, like, four modes. You switch somebody either slipping up, down, left, or right on the thing.
Right.
Assassin's
Creed lets you open the map and just kind of scroll around.
Yeah, and, like, you know, there's no real reason to scroll with the touchscreen. But I tell you what, I like that I have a map button, you know? Like I said, it's kind of silly, but I like that, you know, instead of having to, like, push start, then select a map, but, like, that you just have a map button.
Now, you know what I've come to realize is this controller's biggest innovation? Think about it. There's no start button on this.
Well, the options button is a start
button. I
know
it functionally is, but just, it still messes with my head.
And I guess, really, that's kind of what that... clickable, because the share button is its own thing. I guess that clickable touchscreen button is basically the new select button.
Yeah, it's just so strange that, like, since for the first time since the NES, we don't have a start button. It's odd.
Wasn't it called something weird on Xbox One? Wasn't it not called Start? Wasn't it just like a play? It just had like that symbol on it.
Maybe, yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah. But I mean, it's,
you mean the original Xbox?
That's what it's like. It's a little weird getting used to the placement of it. I'm kind of getting the hang of it now.
Yeah, because it's very flush.
It's very
flush. You don't really push it. Yeah, it's not clicky like the face. Well,
it's
buttons.
Just it's just like where it is. I mean, like sometimes I'm pushing the control. I mean, the
or just nothing. Touch sign,
or like, yeah, it, by mistake. But no, it's a very nice controller. It's kind of a the only thing's like. The charge time isn't as long as
PlayStation 3. Yeah, it's like 8 hours, which for a controller is pretty short.
There's like, I didn't even realize it has like a speaker on it.
Yeah.
Like when you play Resogun, like the little voice comes out of it telling you about things. Like,
which is really important in that game.
Yeah. So the user interface, I like. It's kind of, it's just, it's much more convenient than the cross-media bars. Like you can
go up. It's way more responsive.
Yeah, oh, it's much faster. Even like when you're going out of a game into it, it's just instantaneous, which is nice. But like, you know, you push up and there's notifications, a store and stuff.
They're going to have to come up with a better organization.
That's the one thing, though. Like for all your games and apps, basically they're just on one horizontal line.
Well, no, there is a thing all the way at the end that is like your stuff. But then like you open that up and it's like a three-column wide grid that has, again, no real structure. It's not alphabetized or anything. Like,
yeah.
It's weird. They're going to have to come up with something. But yeah, I really like being able to have, like, real names for friends.
Yeah.
That's handy.
Doing that.
Making
parties and stuff is so much
easier.
Yeah,
that works. You, me, and Chris did that today. It worked great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, functionally, it's the same thing you had on the Xbox 360.
It's just to finally have some of this stuff, it. Yeah, here.
And then, have you played with the share button much?
Yeah, I broadcasted Assassin's Creed, and Chris was watching me, which was fun.
Now, it's weird. You can't watch a stream anywhere in the PS4, can you?
Not that I know.
I couldn't find a Twitch app.
Yeah,
anywhere.
I kind of like expected just to go to his profile and be like, watch him play thing. And I don't know if like a Twitch app is coming. Or...
Yeah, it's really strange.
But so you just gotta get the app on your phone, I guess.
One negative I will say is that little earpiece thing they give you.
It's that cheap. Sucks. I mean, it works.
Yeah, it does.
It kept falling out of my ear, but
it's just weird because, I mean, the system supports Bluetooth. I have a Bluetooth headset, and it just doesn't work.
I thought the system doesn't support Bluetooth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't support it. Right. Like, why?
So, what do you want to talk about some of the games now?
Is there anything else about the system we should?
Well, some of the kind of tie into the game, but I mean, user
the store's been kind of hammered.
Well, it's been hit hard. The other thing too, remote play has been kind of a bust so far.
Yeah, that is not the Wii U killer you may have been hoping for. No. I understand it to be better if your PS4's hardwired in and you're really close to your router with the Vita.
Yeah, but I mean, I was just trying to do it wireless, like from not that far, like 20 feet away from it, and trying to play Resogun on it, you just couldn't
do it. Yeah, well, the router's like in this room, and it wasn't working.
The connection was getting dropped, and it was just flagging, like, yeah, this isn't really a thing. This is more of just, it's just kind of a gimmick. But, like when you saw people, like, on a subway playing their game.
Yeah, like, at school, like, playing Knack on their
Vita. Yeah, not so much.
The only thing is, you gotta figure, this doesn't really apply to us yet, but the PS Vita TV is functionally doing the same thing. That was like kind of one of the whole things about it was, you know, stream your PS4 to your PS Vita TV.
Yeah,
but it's going to do the same thing.
Right, yeah. It's just, I don't know. I guess that technology does not work because it's just, what, internet connections aren't fast enough?
Well, it's
I don't
not
get
internet
it.
Connection. It's your home network, which should be good.
Weird. Well, how does the Wii U do it?
The Wii U uses, if I understand correctly, it's called Wi-Fi Direct, where it is a direct connection between the Wii U to the controller using a certain Wi-Fi protocol specifically designed for video and audio. This is just doing straight up video streaming in your home network. So it could be affected by other devices on the network, which God knows we have 20 devices probably.
I wonder like how that, I never really did like the PlayStation 3 stuff with that. I wonder how that would look. Cause maybe
same,
that doesn't
same
work.
Thing.
Really?
It's the same basic thing. This isn't like Gaikai or
so
anything.
My dreams of like playing Ego in my bed are kind of shattered probably.
A little bit.
Ouch. Okay. But so yeah, that's like kind of like the one bust out of the feature set, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Although the second screen stuff on the phone's kind of neat. I played Assassin's Creed with my iPad with the companion app.
It kind of looks like you have to get the Assassin's Creed app though. You can't just use that PlayStation app second screen stuff.
It's not the end of the world, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's honestly the nicest thing is just being able to type with your phone.
Yeah, it's always a help.
Although I was showing you this earlier.
Yeah, random feature.
Okay, everyone try this, because you wouldn't believe that it works, but it does. If you click in R3, when you're on the keyboard, you get a floating cursor that you motion control, and it works strangely well. Like, really well.
Also, I didn't really realize that it was still going to have, like, the six-axis motion control stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it's because when you play Flower, you can feel how much improved it is, actually, which is surprising.
Well, how was Flower?
It's Flower.
Does it look noticeably better?
I can't say a ton so, but again, any of the games, like even Assassin's Creed, I'm sure if side-by-side, be like, oh, yeah, but...
Well,
it's just so much of it's like comparing it to what's in your head.
Yeah, that's what's true with Assassin's Creed. Like, I'm like, this does look good, but I mean, I thought Assassin's Creed, you know, 3 looked good, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, how much better? And there's certain things where I'm like, when you're on the water, I'm like, okay, this probably doesn't look that nice on thing, and it's raining, but I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Then there's like certain things that like clearly, like hair never looks good in like these fancy games. It's always like, is this, you know, you never have like, you don't have the strands of hair. It's like that weird
it's
layer
like a
3D hair
model of hair.
Yeah, it always looks kind of funky. So let's talk about the games. Let's not start
last
with Assassin's
thing I
want
to touch on the controller. I'm sorry, real quick. The light bar. Do you have any opinion on that?
That's cool. I'm glad it's there. That means
did you notice what it does in Killzone?
No.
It actually goes from green to yellow to red to reflect your health.
But you can't really see.
Yeah, I know. That's like the kind of goofy thing. It's like
I thought it would be like
on top.
You kind
of see the lights on your fingers.
Yeah, like you can actually. I can't actually see that light bar. I heard it.
One time I see is when I notice it reflecting.
I heard that kind of plays along with sound shapes in a cool way.
Actually, the best theoretical implementation I heard of it, I guess, in Thief, which
is
coming
like your
soon.
Stealth like level.
When you're not in shadows, it gets really bright white. It's bright enough to fill a room. So like if you're playing in the dark. You'd know you're in light
that's
because they're like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so which one you want to talk about first?
Can we kind of go in the order of play? Can I talk about Knack a little bit?
Yeah, I haven't played Knack yet. I just watched you play.
And everyone's kind of down on Knack, kind of particularly so. And, like, here, the Knack is a very simple game. It's almost kind of a throwback.
It smacks of the derogatory side of saying it's a launch title.
Yeah, I don't want to say, when you say throwback, it's like I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. I mean, it's a very simple, like, action platformer game where, you know, your only buttons, you have like a jump button, you have an attack button, you have that 3-hit combo, and, you know, you have like a dodge. It's kind of like God of War Lite.
Yeah.
Very God of War Lite. And yeah, there are some cool things you can do with the Knack powers, like the one cool one, like you make like a little storm of all the particles around you and you kind of walk around and stuff like that. But it does look pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It kind of has a little cartoon thing. I know you're a little disappointed that like when Knack gets those like little pieces of himself, they don't quite literally like snap into place.
Which I thought was the whole point.
They
fill in and then like they just
kind of... grows. But
yeah.
I mean, still just seeing all the particles.
I just... The baffling game design decision to me.
That's why Knack talks.
No, that's not that's game design. That's just storytelling, and his voice is dumb. I don't understand why I didn't use the Sonic the Hedgehog model. And maybe it was because I couldn't quite process
it. Oh, we're like...
I don't know why you have a health bar.
Yeah, you don't know why he just doesn't, like, lose
the pieces, but you have to run around and grab them again. I feel like that would have just worked better.
Yeah,
because the game seems aimed at, like, younger or inexperienced players, but it seems like it gets kind of hard.
It does get... It already got kind of... Like, the health bar, you don't have very many hits before you die.
No, like, 3 hits and you're dead.
Pretty much. And I mean, the checkpoints are generous.
Yeah.
But...
I just... That seems so obvious to me. I don't know why it doesn't do that.
But I will say, like, it feels good. You know, like, some platforms that kind of feel loose and janky or whatnot. Like, this feels good. It kind of has, like, the physics down... I mean, not literally, like, you know what I mean by physics, like not
yeah, like the reason
movement,
Mario feels
and the
better
jumping.
Than every platform.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of, you know, it's not Mario level, but it feels pretty good, and it has that charm. Mm-hmm. The characters are kind of likable and stuff, except for when Knack talks as a grown. Knack is much more likable when he's like a little silent guy.
Yeah,
then he's like he's trying to be like the most generic, like slightly sarcastic hero guy.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Why is he talking?
Yeah, why is he talking at all?
Why is Knack talking? Yeah, it's like no, Knack, shut up. You're supposed to be kind of like a dwarf. He sounds like a large black guy.
Yeah, let's be blunt. Yeah, I mean, like, the weird. First time he talks, he's like, and you call it Knack? Actually, I call myself Knack. I'm like, whoa. What?
Yeah, it's like, wait, why does Knack sound... I don't know. Like, I wish he had, like, a robot voice, maybe.
Yeah, something.
It's just, like, some sort of, like, modulation on it. Some kind of filter instead of just being some guy's voice.
Yeah.
It's be like, imagine like Wally talks, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Let alone sound like a large black man.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like Knack's kind of getting beaten up a bit, but it's a fun game. I enjoy it. I mean, maybe, I can see it maybe getting a little tedious. I don't know how much you can kind of, like, it's so simple. How much can they kind of switch it up from here?
Right.
Is kind of the problem. But, I'm interested to play it. So then try out Killzone. Which you point out has the worst plot setup.
I'm gonna spoil the first chapter of Killzone Shadowfall, which is just the plot setup. There's not even any gameplay.
I guess this is what happened at the end of Killzone 3.
See, apparently at the end of Killzone 3, that game, the whole series, I believe, was like the Hellghast were like humans who left the Vecta planet, and then like after generations,
I think they were driven out
something, and then they like invaded. That was like Killzone 1. Then Killzone 2 is us like fighting off their invasion, then invading them. Then I guess Killzone 3, we won and just destroyed their planet. So what happens at the beginning of Shadowfall is I guess we like saved all the survivors and we're like, wow, we feel really bad about that. We're going to give you half of our city, which is apparently the only city on this planet.
I thought it was half of the planet.
Is it the planet or the city? I don't know. So we're going to give you half of this thing and build a wall. But
because that works, that's always a good idea.
But here's what we're gonna do: we're gonna evict everybody who lives on that half with absolutely no warning. We're gonna put you on that half too, give you guns, and then just whatever you want. So like, I'd be pretty pissed if I was a Vectin.
Right? Because of course the Hellghast are just like shooting civilians.
Yeah, they're just like shooting people in the streets.
Because of course they get this, hate the Vectins.
Yeah, like what the hell?
Who is like?
Yeah, this is a great idea. It'll show that we trust them. And lo and behold, 20 years later, they have a huge military force, and there's all this tension.
And now there's another war.
This is how you do it. You say, okay, we beat you. We don't want to kill you. So, yeah, you get this city. We're going to police it. You get none of the guns.
Yeah, why are they armed?
Like, why do they have a military?
Why are they policing themselves?
I mean, that would be like defeating the Nazis, being like, oops, sorry about that.
Here's half of New York.
Yeah, exactly. You get half of the island of Manhattan. Here's some tanks. Yeah. So it feels like home. And then why does it, like, the minute the Hellghast move in, it, like, looks shitty?
It looks like Hellghast.
Like, oh, we got to wreck this place up, kick some walls down,
that's more like home.
Litter everybody, and then they're all wearing the gas mask, which I thought they only wore because Hellghast was such a shitty planet with a bad atmosphere.
I don't know.
So why do they still have gas masks on?
Killzone is kind of dumb.
Yeah,
as a franchise, it's just like, and we've been when I'm playing.
It wants to be so serious, but it does these bafflingly stupid things that just you can't.
Every character
into it.
Every character, it almost tries too hard to be like, look, both sides are. There's no good guys in war, but what they really do is like everyone's just a jerk.
It's just a giant.
Everyone sucks. Everything like nowhere is nice. Because, like, you're either in, like, Helgen, and it's, like, shitty. It's, like, a third world country in the future. Or you're, like, in Vecta, and it's, like, it's, like, too clean where you know something's wrong underneath. And there's, like, just, like, advertisements saying we're, like, oh, it's, you know, it's corrupt, really. And it's, like, it's just, like, the whole time you just don't want to be there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
It's so bizarre.
Because this world sucks.
So.
I was bringing this up, you know, like, the Mean Girls meme. Where girl's, like, stop trying to make this happen. It won't happen, whatever it is.
Fetch, yes.
Yeah, it's Fetch.
Yes.
What's the context actually in the movie?
She keeps like, oh my god, I love your bracelet. It's so Fetch. She's like, stop trying to make Fetch a thing. It's not gonna happen.
Right. Stop trying to make Fetch happen. It's not gonna. But it's like, I feel like Sony wants Killzone to be like a top franchise. So they want it to be a God of War or a Halo so badly, and you just want to be like, Sony, stop trying to make Killzone happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not gonna happen. And I mean, okay, so we're being kind of hard on Killzone, but like, you know, like
the gameplay itself is good.
As a shooter, it's fine. It's good.
I like the drone, like having...
Yeah, you have that drone thing.
One of the drone's features is, like, it lets you create, like, a downward sloping zip line to really almost anywhere.
Yeah, so it's kind of...
As long as you have the right angle and distance.
Yeah,
and
so that's kind of a neat, like, travel feature. It's kind of cool, like, sometimes, like you have, like, a mission and you have, like, kind of multiple objectives in, like, a larger map. It's not linear.
Yeah, so you're zooming all over the place. Yeah, it's very open feeling. Yeah,
it's not open world, but yeah, like, yeah.
It's as open as, I'd say, Halo.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Halo thing. Like, you know, the shooting stuff feels fine. It looks pretty. Like, it looks pretty, but it doesn't, like... Like, there are frame rate dips and stuff like that with streaming people.
The thing is, it's pretty, but it's inconsistent. So the stuff that doesn't look good looks really bad.
Like what?
Have you noticed that? For one, I thought the rain looked terrible.
See, I didn't notice too much the rain.
Just,
character models are kind of iffy.
When you see things in the distance... Like, and you're looking at them, you could tell, like, it's just some little bitmap or something. Like, it just stands out. Plus, yeah. I don't know why, but, like, the lip sync seems off to me.
You know, same thing with Knack. I don't know if it was because it wasn't done installing or something, but I thought that in Knack, too. Like, for a little bit, the lip syncing seemed off.
Yeah.
And in Killzone a little bit. Yeah, you're kind of right. It was kind of weird.
I lost my train of thought.
There's not a whole lot more to say, and I kind of said this before about games like Killzone. I'm kind of done with games that are just shooters, and that's what Killzone is. I mean, that's all you do is you shoot things.
Well, it tries to make it like you're this covert op kind of stealthy guy, and there is stealth, but it suffers from the same problem that every first person shooter with stealth does. The enemies could see like a flea on the back of a dog a mile away. And then, like, as soon as one of them sees you, they all see you, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Which, like, they have this mechanic where when you're spotted in an area, someone will set off an alarm, and reinforcements keep coming until you turn off the alarm. It's fucking hard to find that damn alarm. Right. Can't they put it on the mini-map, for crying out loud?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
I want to try the multiplayer, because Killzone multiplayer has always been fun. I do like Killzone's multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because it has that mode where it's just all the modes.
All the modes.
Yeah, and that's super fun.
Yeah, that'll probably be kind of nice to try out. But yeah, you know, it's you wonder how many more of these they can make.
I don't know.
And especially, it seems like Maple's 3 designed to be the end, and it just like...
They're like, we need another one.
They're like, how much longer can these fuckers fight each other?
Yeah.
At some point.
I mean, they were beaten, and they had to make this crappy excuse for why we're still in conflict with them.
And they tried to do, like, the emotional beginning thing, and it...
Yeah,
I don't know. It's Killzone.
I don't know. I just feel like when you're, like, the Vectin government, and you're like, I hope, like, nothing goes on in, like, New Helgen or whatever. Oh, look, they're building a giant 100-foot-tall statue of their former leader that we assassinated. I'm sure it's fine. Let them go.
It'll be cool, guys.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, it'd be like if, like... If the East Germans, like, built...
A giant Hitler statue.
It would be like... No, guys, come on.
It doesn't make any sense.
The setup is ridiculous. But and one thing with Knack and Killzone, they feel like launch titles. There's that launch title feel, like Perfect Dark Zero and like Cameo had it. That's kind of what they are. These are the Cameo
Perfect Dark Zero. Exactly. What it is.
You have like the platformer and you have the shooter, and it's like, okay. It's just like in little things, just like. In the presentation sometimes, how, like, the way things transition sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's still... I was hoping this would go away, this console generation. It may yet. But, you know, like, this happened in Uncharted, and it was a little more understandable. Where, even though, yes, the cutscenes are real-time, you can tell it's, like, loading into something different that looks noticeably better and different in the way it works mechanically. Then when it goes back to the game, It's like, you know, there is a separation.
Right.
Like, when's that going to get more seamless?
Yeah, not sure. So Resogun is kind of a highlight. Yeah. That's like the big indie game. And you get
free to PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, which everybody has at least a month of if you buy a PlayStation 4.
Is it a month or...
I think
I didn't activate it yet.
You know, I couldn't activate mine. I don't know if it doesn't let you do if you already have it, or...
I think just because the store's been janky.
Oh, okay. No.
I hope.
No, because I got my $10 voucher at the same time. I just couldn't get it to work. Anyways, it's like the it's like Super Defender. It's about the guys that did Superstardust. So it's like very, like, kind of like neon, bright, colorful, spacey...
But it's all made from voxels.
Right, so like little tiny cubes. And like the voxels are always kind of blowing up, and like when you beat the level, they just explode all over the place. And it's like the coolest visual effect so far in the system. Is awesome. It looks pretty cool. And it's just fun because it's just like mayhem.
Well, and I underestimated the game because like everyone uses the Defender description because it's easy.
Well, but it is like Defender.
Yeah, but when you start kind of peeling back the layers, you realize there's a lot of depth to the game.
There's more to it.
Yeah.
Because like the whole thing is like you have to save these humans, and to do that you have to like shoot a very specific kind of ship, then you have to go pick up the human, then you have to like take them to a little teleporter, and you can even throw them and stuff like that.
But then like if you want to go for a high score, you have to keep a multiplier going. So that's why, like, you don't want to use bombs, because if you clear the screen, then you have nothing to hit with your multiplier. Mm-hmm. The bosses are really cool and imaginative.
Yeah, I beat, like, the final boss, and it was pretty neat.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
A lot of stuff going on. And we did the co-op, and that was pretty cool.
Co-op is like, the only thing.
Because you're, like, calling out where the humans are showing up.
Yeah, like, oh, Keepers appeared. Do you see it? Yeah, I got it. Okay, where's the human? I have it.
The only thing, it's, like, humans die sometimes, and I don't know why.
Right, like we missed Keepers or something, and I didn't hear it.
Because, like, sometimes, like, it's just not called out, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why, but I don't...
Yeah, you'll just hear that human loss. You're like, wait, what? Oh.
It's like, why?
Have you been able to get all 10 humans yet?
I got 9 a bunch.
Yeah, me too.
No, not.
But yeah, that game. I mean, I figured it'd be good, but it's really
it's
good.
A high. Yeah, it's kind of a surprise, like big launch.
It's the Geometry Wars. There's a lot of shades of the 360.
Well, Geometry Wars a launch title.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's kind of weird. Yeah, I feel like this launch is more similar to the 360s than the Xbox One will be. DC Universe Online kind of started just like to kind of see how that's like, and
it's the same exact game.
Yeah, well, no, the intro's different. I think they redid
that. They changed that a little while ago, because I've done that before.
But it looks not better than the PlayStation 3 version did, for sure.
Well, it's running 1080p. Is it 60 frames? I think so.
I know, but like, just, it looks a lot smoother. It looks like, and it's cool to have a free-to-play MMO.
Yeah, it's awesome that there's a free-to-play MMO at launch that has no server issues.
Right.
Because it's been out for 3 years. That was a smart move on their part. I'm excited for PlanetSide to come out.
I'm excited for, obviously, 14 to come out. That'd be cool. Did you, you played some of Contrast. I haven't touched that one yet.
Yeah, so Contrast, this is out on, like, everything right now. It's a game that wants to be as clever as it can be, and sometimes that's to its detriment.
Oh, yeah.
So you play as this girl who, for some reason, no one can see but this child.
Of course.
The whole plot setup is, like, she lives with her mom, who's, like, a cabaret singer. She's basically Jessica Rabbit.
Okay. Yeah.
And you don't know where the dad is, and you find out that dad's kind of this, like, loser, but he's trying to, like, start a circus, whatever.
Of course, as all loser dads do.
So you see everybody else in the world but this girl only as shadows. They're there. I mean, they're interacting with stuff, but you just see shadows. And apparently no one can see you. So the game is a combination of, like, a third-person just kind of platformer. But then at any point, if you see shadows along a wall, you can run up by the wall, hit R2, and then you become a shadow.
And, it's like
and
a
then
2D
it becomes platform. A 2D sort of thing. So a lot of the puzzles involve manipulating shadows so that you can get somewhere.
Yeah, this concept sounds cooler than you seem to be enthused about.
Like, the movement in the 3D parts is really janky.
Yeah.
Like, real janky. Mm. It has no sense of weight. You feel very floaty. Okay. It's hard to control. Like I said, this plot wants to be too clever, I feel like.
Yeah.
That kind of gets in the way a little bit.
Yeah, kind of annoying.
And the character models just don't look good.
Right, yeah, I kind of see that.
They're not just well made. They're very low poly in some places. Like, they have big chunky fingers.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like, oh, that was the style. It just feels like they weren't made right. Again, it was free, so all right. I don't think I would have paid for it.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Okay, and then, like, the kind of the big one, at least the one I've been playing the most, is Assassin's Creed 4. Which I've kind of been holding off. And like we said, like, it definitely looks nice graphically. It's hard to say how much of that is next gen-y. And I don't know. It's like, I don't know if this is like, when I'm talking about the game, I don't know if it's like a selling point for the PlayStation 4 because it's out on everything.
Right.
But I'm just speaking about the game itself. I've been really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like these Assassin's Creed series a lot.
Yeah,
I even liked 3, which
you like 3 more than most.
Yeah, which a lot of people kind of were down on.
I feel like I liked 3, but I liked it where it belonged. Like, I liked it to the
I'm not saying
level
it was like
liking.
I was probably. It was definitely kind of maybe
a lower point.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as the Ezio trilogy.
Right.
But 4 is great.
Yeah.
Just
you're a lot further than that. I haven't gotten the ship yet.
Just the pirate stuff is awesome. Just, like, sailing around, it looks gorgeous when you're on that, like, you're out on the open sea, and you see, like, these other ships just kind of going around. You're passing by all these islands. Like, the crew sings these sea shanties constantly, which is amazing. You can, like, collect more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just that part is so cool. And, like, just the ship combat, it's, like, kind of like the same thing from 3. But the cool, it's just, like, so much fun pirating, like, fighting a ship, getting it weakened, boarding it, and all that stuff, like jumping over there, like, swinging off the rope, and, like, collecting their haul, and then, you know, you collect materials to upgrade your own ship. Like, that metagame is just so interesting. Like, so much better than, like, the weird, like, kind of trading thing in 3, you know?
Yeah.
But besides that, like, the character, Edward Kenway seems a lot more kind of interesting than Connor was.
Yeah, Connor
was stoic, kind of purposely.
And Edward's kind of, he's a rascal.
He's always
a pirate. I think that's like a good word for it. Yeah,
he's a pirate. But he's like, you know, a pirate with a heart of gold, of course.
Yeah, but like,
not too much heart of gold.
Exactly, yeah. Like, he's looking out for himself. And
right.
You know, but what I like is he's smart.
Yeah, he's like, he's intelligent.
Like, he knows enough to, like, when someone mistakes him for someone else, be like, yeah. And he's smart enough to, like, go along with it and not give himself
right.
up.
You know, he's not an assassin, like, right away and all this stuff. He's a pirate for a good deal of time. And you kind of, and, like, it's really a lot of happenstance when these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But And like just like the towns, like so far, like the story has not made me go back to like one town more than once. Even like when like you're in like the first big city, Havana, and I was like only there for like a little bit. I'm like, whoa, that was like a big city. It wasn't even like, oh, there's so many other things to see. Like all these little islands, some of them, I have a couple things there. What's cool is like as soon as you get to the island, it tells you, all right, there's two chests here, like two songs here, three like eagle's nests. It tells you what's there, and you can press the R1 button at any point to see what they are. And I mean, Assassin's Creed is very much kind of speaks out to the collectathon,
yeah,
in, which is always an aspect of it I liked. Like, you know, and like one of the best is treasure hunting. You know, and you find a map first, and it'll give you coordinates and like a picture to kind of like give you an idea of where you should be looking. And like, you know, the treasure is like actually worth it. Like you get plans and a good amount of gold or whatever they call it. It's like just getting like that core pirate stuff down. And that's like the thing. It's like, it's definitely a good Assassin's Creed game, but it's a great pirate game.
It was just so funny that like they're the ones who cracked it.
Right.
People have been trying to make a good pirate game forever.
Yeah. And I remember specifically after Red Dead Redemption, I'm like, we need a pirate game. Like how, like
they did the Cowboys.
Right. And this is it. Like, you know, it's good because it's not just like, you know, you're not shooting like willy-nilly. And one thing, too, I don't know if like you'll get an equivalent later, but like right now, I've been playing for a while. I have not gotten like throwing knives or like a bow and arrow. Those little things have always been kind of like cheats because they let you stealthily kill from a distance.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, it's just makes things almost too easy sometimes. But, I mean, you've been playing it, too.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not super far yet. I spent, honestly, just a lot of time just running around Havana collecting shanties and things like that. And,
like, it has a very Adventureland feel.
It does, which is great. I mean, I like you said, I love that whole pirate milieu.
Yeah, and, like, the music's great. It has that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like a pirate music thing.
Right. What do you think of the modern-day stuff?
I like how it's less intrusive. I only kind of recently went back to it. So, like, it's your first person now.
Yeah, you don't do a lot of it, from what I understand.
You're a nameless, voiceless just kind of guy. And it's like Abstergo is basically turned into a video game company.
That's like their
they're
front.
They're like marketing. And, like, the whole point is, like, they're going to market this pirate thing and you're testing it.
Well, like,
it
the Animus is becoming
it's like
a product.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's not like as
this is the future of entertainment.
Right, and it's.
And I'm sure they're going to, like, data mine everybody's DNA memory or something.
Right. Well, that's kind of like. Because, like, that was the hook for Liberation on Vita 2, was that it was, like, a product. It was like, well, welcome. Like, there was no real world present-day stuff. It was just, like, it kept presenting it to you, like, welcome to Liberation, you know, from Animus.
Abstergo.
Abstergo and stuff like that. And, like, even when you're in Abstergo now, it says, like, oh, yeah, Liberation was our first product. And it shows you, like, a poster for it. You're like, oh, okay. So it's kind of neat. I never loved the present-day stuff. So I'm kind of glad to see it sort of
I kind of did like that meta story. I was super disappointed with how it ended, and I'm curious to see what they do to explain it, if anything.
They have explained a little. It seems like this is tying. I was like when I got back last time, it's tying into it a little bit more than I thought it even would.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of interesting to see where they take it. I wonder if it's gonna like pull back the camera and reveal that you're some character from the thing.
Yeah,
like the whole time. I mean, I guess if you like don't like Assassin's Creed because you don't like the combat and I hear a lot of people say they just don't like the way the game plays. They don't like the stealth. They think it's janky.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like one thing that has been a problem since at least 3 is like sometimes when you are running, you'll just accidentally like run up like part of a tree
or like a blank wall that can't possibly take you anywhere. So why would it think I wanted to do that?
Right. So yeah, like the free running, it's like you know it's not perfect sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of has its lumps, but I mean. You know, all that stuff. And, like, the combat, it's not as, like...
It's not Batman.
Flow like that. You want it to be Batman.
But it's not.
Like, if you're in the middle of an attack combo, you can't just push that counter button and, like, you know, get out of it right away. But, still, I still like the way the game plays. I mean, like I said, I like these Assassin's Creed games. I think it's fun. I like that it's, like, one of the big franchises right now, even if it is annual, which is kind of an evil of sorts. I like that it's a big open-world single-player thing that... You know, people criticize them, but they always kind of do at least something different with them.
Right.
So, yeah, I've been liking Assassin's Creed. All right, anything else you want to talk about? We can talk about some of the news from their thingamajig.
Yeah, they have, like, the launch event that you were streaming on your iPhone while you waited for the PS4.
And the big thing was, well, as I was hoping, was the Uncharted tease, which I was very excited about.
Yeah, which was a tease. We don't know anything.
Well, there's, like, a guy talking, and it's not Drake. Which is going to be like, oh, is Drake not going to be in the game? I'm like, okay, I'm sure Drake's going to be. Although, you know, one interesting rumor I heard... People say that the guy talking might be Sir Francis Drake. People wonder if there's like maybe like for part or maybe in the whole game. I don't know. Like
you just play as him.
Yeah, like it's gonna be like a period piece. or something like that. But yeah, so that's all I got. Maybe we'll see more of the video game awards next year, which I guess it's called VGX now, not VGA.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. I was surprised how, like, some people were, like, negative about it. Like, oh, I want... Because, like, Naughty Dog's never brought a franchise from one console generation to the next. They usually do something new. I guess people were, like, thought they would, which was never going to happen because...
They made Last of Us. What do you want?
Yeah, I know. It's dumb. Well, plus, Uncharted was a much more important franchise for Sony than...
Jack and Daxter.
And Crash Bandicoot, they just lost the rights to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm definitely ready for more Uncharted. I have no problem with them making another. I don't know if it's their Halo, but it's a big franchise for them. And I can't wait to see next gen. Plus, they have two teams now. I'm sure the other team is working on something, hopefully new. Last of Us, I don't think, needs a sequel.
It's getting its prequel.
You finally
DLC.
Admitted to me that you just don't like The Last of Us because you haven't been playing it. That's weird.
I know. It is weird. I agree.
Bizarre.
I didn't expect
you're the
it
only
to
person
go that
in
way.
The world who's like. Well, I'm sure there's other people, but whatever.
Yeah.
I guess it won't be on your game of your list.
Yeah.
And then they also, it was like, they're kind of teasing this big Metal Gear announcement, and it just was like, it's like this weird thing for Ground Zeroes where you play as,
it's kind of like that mission in Metal Gear Solid 4, where it's like, looks like a PS1 game.
Well, for like a second, yeah, I guess it's kind of going back to that, like, it's like the PS1 model of Snake and stuff.
Will it be David Hayter's voice?
It won't be, yeah, they already said.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, they don't want people to speculate and be disappointed.
Huh.
Besides that, that's it for the announcements, right?
The release date for Infamous, what, March 21st?
March something, which looks good. That'll be, a big...
And Joey Chu, who's been on this show.
That was hilarious.
Hi, Joey.
I knew he
was the first person in North America to buy a PS4.
I knew...
And he is now an internet meme. Congratulations.
Yeah, I knew he was there.
Yeah, I knew he was there, too. He never said he was first in the line.
And then, I saw him for a second during the stream, like, oh, it's Joey. And then, like, oh, no, for the first person to buy one, I was like, holy shit, it's Joey. That was crazy. That was so funny,
man. That was rad.
I know that guy. So that's fun for him. And it was signed by Jack Tretton and Andrew House. So.
Yeah, so congratulations,
that's cool.
Joey.
That's cool.
Well done.
Yep.
You did it.
All right, is there anything else we should talk about at the PlayStation 4? I mean, it's out.
It is. The new generation has begun.
Have you, in general, you think you like the system
so far? I'm very positive
on it. I think it's been...
I want to see them, like I said, the UI still needs a little bit of work for organizational purposes.
Mm-hmm. And we need some better first-party software, for sure, when they can do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Right, yeah. Like, I think they don't have a software problem. If Infamous, for some reason, is like a 7, then they'll kind of have a software problem.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, their next big exclusive.
I mean, this generation is going to be helped greatly by games like Assassin's Creed, where it's basically just the PC version set to high, and so it looks pretty good.
Yeah, that is one kind of weird thing, and I talked about before how I got my new video card, and I, like, you know, do that big screen mode, just playing games on here. It is kind of a bummer that, like, the graphics on these games aren't blowing me away.
Because you did that. Because
I did it, and to be honest, sometimes it looks better on my PC, at least right now, because I don't, you know, I don't know if it's because their launch titles, or maybe they're just not going to be as powerful.
Maybe you have to see, like, what Battlefield 4 would look like on this thing.
Maybe, but, yeah, but, you know, again, really, you need to wait a year to see, like, you know, again, like, what...
No, and again, look at a launch 360 game and look at...
Right, no, exactly.
...stuff we got at the end,
exactly.
Say, the PS3. You know, compare Resistance to Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. That's where the Xbox One's coming out next.
I know, and we'll have one of those again. We'll do another late show next week for that guy.
That's weird.
So it's so exciting. It's just funny because it just dawned on me, like, this hasn't happened. And I'm sorry, I'm not counting the Wii U. This has not happened in seven years.
It's kind of sad that nobody is.
It's been 7 years since we got new consoles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last time new consoles came out, I was still, like, in college. This is so fun. It's just so fun to be caught up in this.
It always is, like, a great time.
I know. It's just been such an eventful few days.
Yeah, because it comes once every several years, you know, and it's always fun. And then we still have one more to go. And that's one thing I love, too, with all the free-to-play and PlayStation Plus games. Like, you immediately have a game library.
We have games we haven't played yet.
Yeah, we already have.
Warzone and...
Warframe.
Warframe and what's the other one?
Blacklight. And one's like a co-op shooter, the other one's
Warframe sounds like a sci-fi Left 4 Dead, and the other one's just kind of shooter.
Yeah, pretty happy. Be interesting to see where this all goes. God, I want to try. I can't wait to see some of that.
I know.
I mean, okay. So let's move on. Before we get to BlizzCon, actually, I can talk about Zelda now.
Oh, yeah, talk about Zelda.
I reviewed Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds.
I'm so jealous.
And I was looking forward to this game because I like Link to the Past a lot.
Everyone likes Link
to the Past. Everyone likes Link to the Past. Link to the Past was a great, was one of the best Super Nintendo games. But, I mean, I was shocked by how good Link Between Worlds
was. Like, you thought it was just going to be kind of like,
I thought
this,
be like, this
like a new Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was going to, yeah, you know, it's like,
it feels very by the numbers, like a remake kind of
like,
thing.
Oh, isn't that cute? But no, it is a good, good game. And, like, it uses, like, that same kind of overworld, I mean, the same overworld, basically, but, like, all the dungeon stuff are different. Instead of the Dark World, you have Lurule, and it's not quite ever clear if it is the same place or not.
Uh-huh.
I feel there's got to be some connection, because, I mean, they play that Dark World theme and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is nice. But the music, real quick, it's not. There's not a lot of new music, but, like, the new arrangements of the songs are awesome. Like, the version of the overworld theme.
Oh,
it's so cool. It's been a while since we played a Zelda game where they, like, really played that triumphant Zelda theme when you're in the overworld.
Yeah.
Because I kind of went out of stop. They kind of stopped doing that string with Ocarina of Time. But, oh, my God. That being a painting mechanic, you kind of think like, okay, that's like the thing, that's like the gimmick, and it'll be kind of neat. That thing is so cool.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is from the instant you get it to the end of the game, they keep like throwing new ways to kind of mess around with it. There's constantly kind of new things with it. And I want to use some specific examples, but I don't want to give things away.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, you know, like you use it to go on a wall to, like, you know, cross a gap, obviously, or to slip through a crack. But, like, there's times, like, you're going down a hallway and a boulder's coming at you, and the only way to dodge it is to become a painting real quick.
Huh.
And stuff like that. Like, you get a one item that, like, creates pillars of sand in front of you, and you can become a painting on the pillars of sand, so you have to kind of have to do that before they disappear.
Ooh.
And, you know, there's moving, like, things, too, so it's like you become a painting on the one, and then it moves in line with another one, then you move across to that, just stuff like that. And, like, some of the ways it works for bosses, again, I don't want to go into that stuff, but it is pretty, pretty awesome. The last boss fight. Ugh,
now, I read your review, obviously, yeah. So I know, but, so, like, how's the whole rental system work,
then? You know, some people seem kind of high on it. I don't hate it, but it seems unnecessary to me. So, like, yeah, there's just a point where, like, the rental shop is there, and you can rent all the items except for one. For some reason, there's one item, like, you have to, like, beat one dungeon first before you can get it. So it's kind of weird, because it's like immediately you could have, like, the bombs, the hook shot, the bow and arrow, you know, like, all that stuff. And, like, the reason why they do this is, like, you can tackle the dungeons in any order you want for the most part.
Will a dungeon say, like, if you don't have the bow and arrow, like, you didn't rent one, you need it, will it not let you in that dungeon?
Well, what it'll do is usually, like, you'll never need a bow and arrow, really.
Well, I mean, just
but, like, if it wanders, like, one where you need, like, the hook shot, what it is, there'll be two pillars outside it with a picture of a hook.
Get in with the
and
hook
shot. And it'll even have pictures of the hook shot on it. So it's like, and sometimes, like, something will come and tell you, like, hey, the hook shot happens to be on sale at the item shop. Like, oh, okay, I get it.
No, you don't say.
So, like, the nice thing is that you can hit the dungeons anywhere you want. The bad thing is, like, you know, a lot of the dungeons are only going to have you use maybe that one item because they don't know if you have the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So things don't kind of get mixed around.
Yeah, you don't, like, mix and mash.
Right, and so you still have that kind of problem where some of them have, where before it used to be just because the items would be too gimmicky, like the Dreidel of Death from Twilight Princess, where you have an item, you really only use it in, like, one dungeon. And not for much else. And, I mean, I guess my argument is just that, does it really matter if you can do the dungeons in any order you want? Would it really hurt you to do them in a set order?
Right.
It doesn't change anything. You're going to do them all.
Yeah, yeah. At least seems to me, tell me if I'm right about this, it seems that it actually makes dying matter, because you lose your rentals,
yeah,
right?
That's kind of nice, because it is kind of nice to have a larger penalty on that.
And it seems like rupees are now more important, because you always just, you know, like, have max rupees.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really talk about that in my review. One thing that's nice, and I really should have, but, like, you have, like, your wallet's maxed out from the beginning. You don't have to, like, upgrade that. But I've always had a complaint with other Zelda games, where there's always, like, caverns and stuff to explore, but your reward is either a piece of heart, which is nice, or it's a lot of rupees. And there's usually not much to buy with rupees. Like, you have all these rupees, like, well, what do I need it for? Right? You don't need to buy bombs or arrows, because you just cut grass to get those.
Yeah.
And there's never, like, anything to actually buy with rupees. The Skyward Sword was kind of a little better at that, because there's a lot of upgrades and stuff. But, yeah, so not only do you need to rent the items, but eventually, like, halfway through the game, you can just buy the items.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have them outright. And it's actually really expensive to do. But, like, you know, by that point, you're finding all these rupees and stuff like that. The other big change that I like even more is there's no, like, more, like, arrow supply or bomb supply. Everything has one, like, magic bar that depletes as you use things, and it just, like, slowly recharges.
That's also
for the painting.
Painting thing, mm-hmm. too, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
It's nice, because you just don't have to worry about running out of stuff or, like, stocking up on stuff. And it's kind of cool because, like, you know, sometimes you'll be in a boss fight and, like, your meter's depleted and you need to hit him with arrows and you're kind of like, there's a little tension to it. Like, oh, I hope it recharges. Defense, yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like that reload tension, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, so that's a nice, that is like a change that I think Zelda should just keep forever now. Mm-hmm. This kind of magic bar thing. It's nice to have that. Man, it's like the dungeons are just, they're very well designed. You don't have to get a map before anymore. When you go in, you see a whole map. There's still a compass to get.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I have a question.
Oh, that's what...
Okay, go ahead. Say what you're
the one other thing I don't like about the rental is, like, you don't get, like, that new item in the middle of the dungeon, which used to be kind of fun. There are, like... There's always at least one big item in the dungeon still. Like, sometimes, like, an upgrade for your armor, or sometimes, like, ore. If you get two of them, you can upgrade your sword. There's always at least, like, a big item in there, but it's not, like, one of the usable, like, hookshot or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. What are you gonna
say? This is goofy. So you can be vague with this if you want, if you think it will ruin my enjoyment. So this is a direct sequel to A Link to the Past.
Yeah, it takes place like six generations later or something. Okay.
Now, at the end of Link to the Past, it did say that the Master Sword rests forever.
Yeah.
I just want to know, do they even try to explain that?
No.
Damn.
It just, that kind of bothered me at first, too. Although I think, now I'm not even sure.
They didn't plan ahead well enough.
I meant to research this, AJ, I wish I did, but I think I read somewhere that actually is just a mistranslation from the original Super Nintendo game. Like, it wasn't supposed to say that. But, I mean, it used to make sense, because the only Zelda games after that in that timeline were Zelda 1 and 2, and the Game Boy ones, where he doesn't use the Master Sword.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean...
the timeline, Michael, the timeline.
Part of me is almost like, does he really need to use the Master Sword in this one? But the one nice thing about it is that, and stupid as it sounds, it does make it feel more like...
a Zelda game?
Well, you know, like, the handheld Zelda games have actually been pretty excellent for a while now. I didn't like the DS ones as much,
I didn't like any of the DS ones, but beyond that, I always liked the handheld ones.
Minish Cap is great, the Oracle games are great, Link's Awakening's great. But, you know, they always kind of have that, like, oh, it's a cute side story feel to them.
This one feels like a main...
Well, this one's, and it was just, like, little things, you know, you have the Master Sword, you're rescuing Zelda, you know?
Yeah.
Like, usually there's, like, some other thing.
So excited to play this game.
It is good.
It comes out the same day as the Xbox One, and I might be doing that first.
Right.
Well, and I can take my 3DS to work with me.
And it just looks really good, too. Like, the way how it captures that look, but so with, the polygons, like, the 3D models instead of sprites... The 3D effects are... This is, like, a game you definitely need to keep the 3D on.
Yeah.
Because things are, like... Because it works so well with that top-down perspective. And they're always using, like, the layers, kind of.
Yeah, see, that's so smart. It's so cool.
And, like, things are always kind of flying out at the screen, which are kind of neat. Like, the 3DS
never does enough flying off the screen.
No, not really.
But it does it always, well when it does.
Yeah, and people always can use it more for depth. But yeah, it's cool, like, seeing things kind of fly. Like, one of the items is, like, a little propeller that, like, lifts you in the air a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's cool when you use it, because it literally, like comes off the screen. It's neat.
Oh, man,
and there's, like, pillars of fire that, like, shoot up and stuff like that. And, like, when you deflect that arrow, it kind of bounces upwards intentionally and stuff like that. And, the bosses are some of the best. The bosses are awesome. And the final boss, again, that's cool. I was surprised with, like, one of the things I had to do with it.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
And it's, like, it's cool, because, like, there are a ton of callbacks to Link to the Past, but it never feels just, like, a gimmicky kind of,
yeah,
like,
oh. See, and that's what I think everyone expected.
And that's what I was kind of, that's why I was excited, but I was like, it's going to be a cute thing. But no, it is good. It is one of the best 3DS games, for sure. It's, like, it's in that Fire Emblem category for me. Nice. And if you know me, I really liked Fire Emblem.
Good year for the 3DS.
I think I brought it up last year, how it was, like, the year of 3DS, and man, not slowing down there. I feel like I could talk about the game a lot more, really, but I kind of just want people.
Well, we'll wait after I play it too, and we'll probably talk about it more.
But I mean, it's one of the best Zelda games. And it's like the 3DS one.
Because I mean, you know, it has been a bummer that ever since Ocarina of Time, they've just kept remaking Ocarina of Time to some degree.
Right. Well, Minish Cap was after that, which was good. Yeah.
But again, like you said, they're always kind of like the side.
Yeah, things. But no, this is.
I know this is on the 3DS, but. I still think that's Nintendo's bread and butter now.
Yeah.
That may as well be the main one now. Look, we're getting the spin-offs on Wii U, like Mario 3D World.
Right, and it's interesting to see a lot of reviews, they specifically talk about how, like, they haven't liked a Zelda game in a while. And I'm someone who liked Skyward Sword a lot.
Oh, I did too.
But, I mean, people who have been kind of jaded from Zelda seem to really like this.
That's cool.
And I'm always interested when I review a game. I gave, like, a 94, in case you're wondering. And I'm always interested to see, like, where I line up.
On, like, Metacritic.
Right, and I'm like, I was actually right there. I think it's, like, a 91 right now. And it's really that, because it's really, like, a lot of hundreds, 90s, some 80s. Destructoid out of nowhere with a 65. Chris Carter just did not get it. He didn't. Was not a fan.
Yeah, he really didn't.
That's fine.
Let me talk real quick, too. I just want to talk about Batman Arkham Origins. I played the multiplayer before I sent it back to Gamefly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool idea.
It's a 3-on-3 third-person shooter with control points. But then there's a third team that's Batman and Robin.
Right, and that's who I imagine everybody wants to be.
Exactly. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
It's competent when you're on the other teams.
But you want, yeah, but
you want to be Batman and Robin. Yeah. And that's super fun.
Right.
The one cool thing is that it'll come halfway through the match.
Well, maybe you want to be Batman anyways.
You're either on Bane's team or Joker's team, and halfway through the match...
Man, Bane's really been elevated, hasn't he?
Yeah, right? He'll be, like, one of, like, well, it's both, but, like, if, so you're on Joker's team, be like, I'm coming in, boys, open the door and let me in. So, like, you'll hear, like, banging on this door, and both teams are going for the door. Whoever gets there first and opens it, that player becomes their team's villain until they die.
That's kind of
cool. They're, like, super powerful. Like, Bane is just, like, a wrecking ball. You could just, like, melee people to death. Joker gets, like, a super sweet magnum that just kills people in one
shot.
That's
pretty cool.
So, like, I got to be Joker, and I was just bam, bam, bam.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's really neat. It's going to be one of those multiplayer modes that in 2 months is going
to
be empty.
Right. You sent this back to Gameplay. I didn't even touch it.
Yeah.
What
it is.
How's Troy Baker as a...
Oh, he's fine.
Fine? I thought he was... Was it...
Oh, yeah. I answered that before you finished talking. I thought you asked me about Batman, and I forget who's doing it. Troy Baker as Joker, he's great.
Okay.
I mean, I barely saw Joker in what I played of the story. Like, I basically got to his reveal.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the Mark Hamill.
Yeah, he's doing Joker. That. That's kind of nice.
So, yeah, he can do it.
That's good. All right, so let's talk about the BlizzCon stuff real quick. They announced officially the next Warcraft expansion.
Warlords of Draenor.
I feel like it's always a bad idea when you rely a little too much on the proper names for your thing. I feel like it kind of is exclusionary when you do that. Like Mists of Pandaria. Like some people are like, what the hell is a Pandaria? Like when your name's the Burning Crusade, there's intrigue there. When the name's Cataclysm, like I get what that means. Who the fuck are the Warlords of Draenor? What's a Draenor, you know? Like, I know.
Yeah.
I know because I'm a big nerd, but I mean, you know, Joe Call of Duty.
Right. Well,
but
I think World of Warcraft will suffice.
Yeah. So, like, the big, it's like, a kind of like an alternate universe time travel thing where you go back in time to Draenor before it's like, before it becomes Outland, and it's like, the orcs don't drink the demon blood or whatever. So it's like it's
before they did or is something. It clear?
I don't quite get
they're
it.
They're still red,
but they make a big deal. They're like kind of going back to the events of like Warcraft 1 and 2, which I think is because that's what that movie is going to be set in. So we're going to see a lot of
gotta get everyone ready for it.
There's going to be a lot of nostalgia acts going on with Warcraft, which is weird because like Warcraft 3 post and everything post is a very different feel from Warcraft 1 and 2.
Well, they talk about. Real quick tangent, like somehow bringing back the old games, like but like Warcraft 1 and Warcraft
2. Oh, like they wanted to get them working on like modern.
But like, well, they did. Maybe people are reading into it too much, but they didn't say like, yeah, we're going to re-release them. They made it sound like they're going to rework them somehow.
I don't know,
which would be cool, but whatever.
So one of the nice things to me is that all the character older character models are finally getting updated,
which is
and they look
about
better,
time.
And like they animate more. Much better now. Used to be, if you had like a worgen next to like a human, it was just like ooh.
Well, especially that was a stark contrast because you could turn into a human.
Yeah,
one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, level 90 to 100 content. It's weird that they're stopping with the whole every 5 level thing now.
Yeah, they just went all out.
Well, I think maybe it's because there's no new race or class anyways yet. So maybe that's why they really want to have more end game content.
Yeah.
And plus, they're doing a thing where you can make one character level 90 right away.
Yeah, it's a one-time use thing.
That's like my,
but I'm sure for $25 bucks, you can get another one.
You know, my initial reaction to that was like, "Well, that's lame. That's cheap." But then you think about like, "Well, what is somebody really gonna first play through level 1 through 60, then play through Burning Crusade, then Lich King, then Cataclysm, then Mists of Pandaria, just to play the new expansion?" Right. I mean,
it's smart.
It's like a necessary evil now. Well, it's like, what are you gonna do?
Because like, I had a character on a different server from you because. Yeah. It was my grad school friends when I was going to school. We all started new characters. So I have, like, characters in their 70s or something. But now, like, they're not playing anymore. I'd rather play with you. You're on a completely different server, so I can make that character, get to 90, and we can start playing.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's why maybe that next EverQuest, like, does that have levels, the next EverQuest?
I'm not quite sure.
Because it's like, you almost wonder if that might be smarter, because then you don't have, like...
These discrepancies.
Yeah, like...
We even had things like, remember City of Heroes had the sidekick system?
Yeah, it never worked that great. I mean...
No one wanted to be the sidekick.
Well, I mean, you know, like, a lot of things now have, like, what Final Fantasy XIV does, where you do, like, the level syncing down, but there's still no way to, like, you can't level sync up. Yeah. So, I mean, it looks... I don't think it's going to turn the fortunes of World Warcraft. Look, World Warcraft's on a decline. It's a slow decline. It's happening.
It's nine years old.
They have some years out of it before they get the next one ready. But we are kind of... We are there where it's, you know... It's just, like, the big deal that, like, when they announced Wrath of Lich King, that was a brand crusade. No, it's not anymore. It's just not. But, you know, looks nice.
So then they showed more Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls.
You know, real quick, I go back. Mm-hmm. I used to criticize the Warcraft expansions for being kind of formulaic with, like, the one big bad guy, and he was threatening to destroy everything. I was like, okay, come on. I kind of miss that now. I kind of like having the bad guy poster.
You need a villain.
Yeah.
You need a villain.
The villain right now is Garrosh, even though he was the final raid boss of Thing and of a Mr. Midar. I guess he's just still around because he's the one who like makes this new dark portal. I hate Garrosh, and I hate him because he's dick. But I also kind of hate him. He's just like he just seems I don't know lame. Like why are you so mad, Garrosh?
Yeah.
Why are you
he's
mad?
He's a villain lacking motivation.
Yeah, his motivation is that he's mad. I guess he's like there's supposed to be something about him being insecure about his father. I don't know. Whatever. But there's still so many like kind of villains from the Warcraft archive that they haven't brought out yet. Like Ashera was like the queen of the Naga and used to be like the queen of the Night Elves before she got all corrupt and summoned Sargeras, whatever. And then there's Sargeras, who's like Warcraft Satan. Everyone's
been waiting for him forever.
Right. I kind of assumed that would happen at some point, but now I'm like, yeah, maybe not. Because the problem is...
It's a movie.
Well, the problem is once you beat Sargeras, then what the hell do you do? It's literally like the final boss of Satan. Like, who do you kill now? Diablo,
Diablo?
Yeah, so anyways, Reaper of Souls. What did they show?
They went into a little more detail about, like, the new game systems, like the adventure mode, which is just randomly generated. Like,
the end game stuff that I don't really care about.
Well, the idea is, like, people would just grind the campaign to find items.
Did you see the...
But just to give it variety, now you could grind anywhere.
Yeah. Did you see, there's a, Rock Paper Shotgun did an interview with the Diablo guy again.
Oh, really?
Did you see this?
No.
Oh, my God. And people were kind of freaking out. Because, like, they were saying, like, look, so are you guys going to add offline mode to PC now? Because, you know, we have it on consoles and it's fine. He was, like, going, like, no, that's not the game we made. And going on and on about it. And, like, at one point he said, like, he was like, you know, but why don't you do it like Diablo 2? You know, Diablo 2 is fine. He's like, you know, Diablo 2 should have been online only. And everyone's like, what? What does that mean?
It works fine.
It's like, oh, I guess, like, the one thing was that you had to have an offline character and an online character.
Well, yeah, but they just didn't.
And that's, like, what that guy was trying to say. It's like, you know, like, everyone else forget, but I didn't forget how everybody hated that there was an offline mode in Diablo 2. He's, like, twisting his... He's such revisionist history because he had separate characters. No one was complaining that there was an offline mode. They were complaining maybe that you had to have two separate characters for online, but, I mean, God. It's so stupid that they just won't have an offline mode, the PC version, yeah, or whatever. Like I said, playing that game on the console is the way to go right now.
Why can't they just admit it? It's to prevent hacking. Because you can't, like...
Yeah, you know, just say it. Just stop with the bullshit. Like, this is the game we made.
No,
and it's such an important part.
You don't want to be able to hack your character. And that's a fine... You know what? That's a valid reason.
Just be honest about it.
Because you can't hack the 360 version.
I don't know. You know how people are. Maybe he believes his own... Maybe he believes it.
Yeah.
I think the SimCity people, I think they literally believe that, like, being online was too important for their game.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm sure, like, they used those... They had, like, their pitch meetings, and they used that, like, the social buzzwords all they could. And, like, they actually bought into that shit. Yeah. And they can't comprehend why we don't care.
Yeah. But the marketing said...
No one's talking about SimCity anymore, huh?
There's an expansion coming out that no one cares about.
Is it, like, future-y?
Yeah.
That's kind of neat, but... I have
Anna. Well, no, apparently, because, like, you know how, like, SimCity, like, the traffic's broken?
Yeah.
So in the future, we have, like, the tubes from Futurama, basically, to, like, bypass traffic.
What is it with everybody in the tubes?
Yeah.
Pneumatic tubes.
We're not zipping around in tubes, everybody.
I'm not traveling by tube to anything. Damn it.
But anyway, what they did announce that I'm very keen on is the PS4 version will just be Reaper of Souls. Like, right. Like an all-in-one
package. Which kind of dates it a little bit, I guess.
Well, I just wonder, if it comes out at the same time as Reaper of Souls on PC, I'd rather just get the PS4 one, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to want to make the new class, the Crusader.
Yeah, true.
Because I played a Pally, and he's basically a Pally.
Right. So, that'd be nice. They showed a little bit of Heroes of the Storm, which is their MOBA. Which I'm finally using the MOBA word much. I used to just call them Dota as a genre.
Yeah,
I actually am using that phrase now, so.
Yeah, but it looks good.
It looks nice.
You know what's one thing it does that's really smart to kind of engender newer players getting into the game? experience is shared on your team.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
So you can't be like the level 2 noob while everyone else is like up to level 10 and they're like wondering why you suck. That's smart. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure like the purists will be like, oh, it's baby mode.
Well, I think that's, I mean, look.
But that's what they're going. Like,
well, we have Dota 2 now.
Yeah, you can't, there's no sense in trying to just make Dota 2 with a Blizzard skin.
Yeah.
You might get away with that, but
like, I like it's a little bit more friendly.
They're smart going for a friendlier, more casual
let's
audience.
Let's be honest. Dota 2 could stand to be a little bit more casual.
Yeah. And it's popular.
I mean, even League of Legends. It's funny how I played League of Legends first. I'm like, well, it was one of the most hardcore games I ever played. And people were like, well, it's a baby game. It's so, like, baby next to Dota 2.
To Dota.
I was like, oh my. And really? I'm sorry, I can't play Dota 2.
I can't. I want to.
I can't. I'd want to, but I just can't.
Yeah, I can't.
It's way too. Like, I just can't get my head around this shop and, like, the. It's just, crafting
it's
just
and so slow.
Like there's so many. Like you have like your courier.
You have to commit there's, over an hour.
There's
to
like
play
20.
A match.
There's like 20 meta games within the game.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Nuts. But the thing is too. Like this always happens to me. I'm just surprised how much it is. The crossover bug just really gets me. Just watching the CG trailer where like Jim Raynor is like fighting Diablo. Like yeah, that's great. Why not?
And then
Nova the Ghost calls in a nuclear strike.
Yeah. I mean, ever since we got that Flintstones Meet the Jetsons,
I know it's all
video,
started there.
That's when we kind of went fans.
So just imagine where they could take that, like where they could introduce the Lost Vikings.
Yeah,
have to get goofy with it.
Yeah.
I think that'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be cool. All right.
Oh, and they also announced iPad and iPhone and Android versions of Hearthstone.
Yep, I mean that.
Oh man.
All right, you. Let's get to the community of our Google community.
What did
Google
they Plus. Do?
Well, Dammy, Onofowoka. Yeah. Dammy. he wanted to talk to us because we were talking about being a PC gamer as a console gamer. He said, I identify myself as a PC gamer through and through. I prefer keyboard and mouse and controller. I'd much rather sit at my desk and play PC games as opposed to sitting on the couch. I just feel more immersed sitting closer to the screen. I've owned several consoles in my 30-year life, but I always come back to the PC. That being said, Valve releases a streaming Steam box that lets me mirror my PC games to my TV without having to connect an HDMI cable. That is a day one purchase for me. The convenience of that would be great, as I much rather would have my PC sitting next to my desk and not in the living room, but for the occasional game that I want to play in the living room or play with my wife sitting on the couch next to me, the streaming Steam box that would let me throw the image from my desktop right to the TV without having to mess with the cable would be awesome. Take my money, Valve. Now, see, like, that's a good idea, but, like, this remote play thing is kind of make me weary of streaming systems like to other TVs in my house. I don't know how it works.
But here's what's weird. Remember I was doing this like when Final Fantasy 14 came out? I found like an app on my iPad that was supposed to be like a desktop mirroring thing.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why the Vita doesn't.
Like I said, I want it to be like a launch, but like what could it be? It's not like the server should matter.
No, it's just how they optimize and handle it. And maybe Sony didn't put a lot of effort into that. Maybe they should have.
Maybe, is there something they can patch and make better?
It's possible. I don't see why not. Because, I mean, the thing is, that is the reason people like the Wii U. I wouldn't be surprised to meet people who don't even have their Wii U hooked up to a TV. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
But
I feel like we've been very mean to Nintendo this show, but except for all the love.
I'm just saying,
by all accounts, the Mario 3D World is supposed to be amazing.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited about that. And the soundtrack is great, just from what I've been hearing. All right, is there anything else you want to talk about? Seems like a pretty comprehensive show. I kind of want to get back to my PlayStation.
Yeah, me too. Can I play Assassin's Creed now?
God damn it, I was afraid of that. Yeah, you can play
this
for
one
bit.
Thing. I get the feeling like after a week, she'll be like, let's just split the cost of another one.
It'll be like, we want to play multiplayer together.
Yeah.
But
I always kind of like couch co-op.
What's your favorite launch game?
It's between Assassin's Creed and Resogun.
You know me, like, I'm never one to call a game like Resogun my favorite anything as much as I enjoy them. But
but it is
great.
Super fun.
It is cool. The only time like I've ever like a downloadable game that I was like, yeah, it was like one of my favorite games was Braid, which I liked a lot.
Yeah.
When does The Witness come out?
No idea.
That would be cool. Alright, so yeah, this is our big PlayStation 4 show. And it's cool.
Yeah, and next week we'll have a big Xbox One show. I love it.
That's
I'm
crazy.
So
that's weird.
It's so fun.
It's going to be interesting to see how they stack up.
Hey-o.
You know, it's nice to kind of get past all the bullshit now. We have systems. They can kind of speak for themselves.
Yeah, it is nice.
It's nice, like, no more. Oh, you know what? But if you have your Xbox One upstairs, and you can't do any of that TV stuff.
I'm considering just seeing if we could rent another cable box.
Oh, there you go. Maybe when you bring it home that night, you should plug it in down here, just for a little bit. So while we mess around with it. Well, now we're just talking about what we're doing. Well, thanks for listening to
Wasn't that the whole point of the show?
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter and our Facebook. Go to our Google Plus community and join our conversations. Let us know what you think about the PlayStation 4 if you got one. If you didn't get one, tell us why you're waiting. And go to iTunes Music Store, see all of our old episodes, leave us a review. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
PlayStation off.